Hey there, just a quick heads up. We're not doctors and this isn't medical advice. We're just sharing what's worked for us. So as always, check with a healthcare professional before making any changes. All right, let's get into it. Hello and welcome back. We are so happy you're here. Today on TITS, Teaching Inspiring to Simplify, it truly is all about those words. Teaching you what's out there in the news, simplifying it for you so that you don't have to do the heavy lifting, and inspiring you to dig deeper and do better for yourself and your family. Today's episode is about antibiotics, and not what you're probably thinking. Antibiotics are great. They've been around since the 1940s. However, unfortunately, we are starting to build immunities to the ones that are out there. What do you think, Amber? Have you taken an antibiotic recently?
I have not taken one recently. I want to say the last time I've taken one. So thoughts are with medical stuff. And I've always tried to go, not always, but then, you know, definitely the last 5 years, go that natural route. Yeah. So, I mean, unless I absolutely have to have it, like strep throat. That's the last time we all got strep. I don't remember when it was. Not too terribly long ago.
3 or 4 months ago, I think.
Yeah, and we had to have an antibiotic for that. But, you know, with that, and I remember your son was on one. I'm like, make sure you finish it all, because I know that's one of the ways that you can develop that resistance. And I know I've been definitely guilty of that in the past of, hey, I'm feeling a little bit better now. I don't need it. I don't need to take the rest of them. But that's actually one of the contributing factors as well to that antibiotic resistance. But, you know, I also use a lot of, you know, me and testing all the different natural remedies and holistic approaches. You know, there's other approaches that if I feel like I'm getting a little bit sick, those are my go-to. And I really try to only use an antibiotic if I, you know, like a strep.
Absolutely. Bacteria. Yeah. So
should be used.
Yes.
How, instead of just calling up that teledoc, hey, I think I have strep. Can you call me something out or
whatever? Like that's a common theme. In fact, based on this story, 2.8 million Americans are, you know, having they're immunocompromised. They're having issues with their immune system being resistant to the antibiotics that they've been given. In fact, 35,000 deaths per year from that. Mm. So, obviously, there is an issue, and they also mentioned that, you know, the last time a new antibiotic class was made was in the 1980s, which is crazy. Like, why? Like, these pharmaceutical companies are popping out drugs all the time, and
hear about them on the every time. I mean, if you turn on the TV, it's ad after ad after ad after ad. Plus, their laundry list of all these horrible possible side effects. So new drugs are popping out all the time.
What I found was that it's not, these drugs are proactive, that they're creating and they're advertising to the consumer and telling you why you need it. And then the consumer is going in to the doctor and telling the doctor what they need versus it being, you know, the traditional way where, you know, the doctor went to school to get, you know, to give advice and to give them the right medications based on what their symptoms are. It's a totally different world we live in. And, you know, the drug companies have definitely gotten to the consumer. And so antibiotics, of course, they're not their moneymaker. That's not where they're making their money. And it costs $1.5 billion with the B to create a new antibiotic class. So that's not on their, like, high agenda of creation. That's more on the lower scale.
Yeah.
Because it's just not where they're making their money. I do know that there's been called the Pester Act, that's been on the docket in Congress since 2019. And, you know, the reality is it keeps getting tabled. Because it's just, again, it's about the money and it's priority. Even though there's definitely been links to, you know, the cattle and the livestock that are being...
Oh, with all the antibiotics that they're treating with.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about that. The amount of antibiotics that we as consumers, if you eat meat or eat animal products, are potentially ingesting because of what those cattle or what those animals are being treated with.
Yeah.
And what's put into them. And then we are then ingesting that.
Yeah. And that, there was a
up until 2017, cattle, I didn't realize this, but the reason that they, I was just like, okay, antibiotics, they're just treating the cattle because they got sick. Like yeah. there's a bacteria, that makes sense. But reality, it was to promote them getting thicker, bigger, like more meat, like more money. Like it was just like, really, to promote them to get bigger? That's what antibiotics are doing. And it has to do with their gut health and way past my pay grade. But it has to do with something internally that they're, the way in which their body's ingesting the antibiotic makes them, you know, gain weight and become bigger and therefore be worth more to slaughter.
I know there's chickens. Now, I don't know what they treat them with, but I know that, you know, chickens that are conventionally, I don't know the right
conventional
word.
Conventional, yeah.
Not like someone raising them that are letting them free range and roam, right. Not that, but where they're bred specifically for I guess meat consumption.
Yeah.
And they will, like the size of those chickens in comparison to just a natural chicken that gets to just forage outside and eat outside is almost, I want to say it's like 3 to 4 times larger.
Yeah.
It's because of all the stuff that they are feeding them full of and pumping them full of. And some of them get so large, they can't even stand on yeah. their own legs. It's like heartbreaking to see. So yeah,
animal cruelty.
It really is. It's, and again, I eat animals. I eat yeah. for sure. I eat meat. I use animal products, not vegan, not vegetarian, yeah. but there's
humane way to do it.
Yes, yeah. absolutely.
Absolutely.
There's ways that animals should be treated and even, you know, slaughtered humanely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's sad when you read about those kind of stories. And it's even sadder when you think about what they're putting into those animals is then being transferred over to us and creating health problems for consumers.
Yeah, and big-time health concerns because, you know, you get a bacteria infection. Again, I referenced 35,000 Americans, and really the doctor that I listened to, he mentioned that was way underestimated. Like it's way more than that. He thinks it's higher. He says that, you know, sometimes, you know, things don't get classified as that's the reason for the death. Like, you know, there's
always
ways.
Noise, there's a little always, bit of noise. Yeah. yeah.
And so, you know, I think, but when you think about cattle, and I think that's an area that we as consumers can, you know, really like look into the meat that we're buying, making sure that they're not, you know, antibiotic, you know, raised. I think that's an important thing because obviously if there is this concern of antibiotic resistance and us not being able to fight off the infections because we're not able to do it anymore because of the immunity, then we definitely need to make sure we're looking at what we're putting in our body with the foods that we're eating. And cattle is something that, you know, if you're a meat eater, that's everywhere. And I go back to the 80-20 rule. You can control 80%, but you can't control that last 20%. So, you know, how do you do that? Well, the meat that you purchase would be something from a farm that, you know, I buy all my meat from a farm that is organic and, you know, is not treated with antibiotics and pasture raised, you know, like that's where I get my meat. So I know the quality of meat that I'm getting.
You feel better when you purchase it. So
it looks different, by the way.
It does look totally different. I'll say when I switched over to not buying meat from the grocery store, and again, I would shop in, you know, very the nice grocery stores, buy the organic and all the top end stuff. But then when you switch over to like someone locally yes. raising your meat, it's still so much different. It's so different. So much better.
So different.
And in addition to, you know, not getting fed those leftover antibiotics or whatever they're being treated or fed with low quality grain or grain that's been treated with something. You know, you just feel better about eating.
What you're doing, yeah.
Where meat, where you know where it's coming from, you know where the animals are, they're treated better. And so there's also for me that aspect of just animal treatment and animal cruelty and me not supporting the places that are, you know, raising all the cattle where they can barely move around, raising the chickens and they don't even have the ability to ever go outside and touch grass. It's you know, supporting those local farmers for a variety of reasons, health, but you know, the morality issue of it too, I think just better again, all around. Plus you're supporting local.
Right.
Again, and you know how your meat or your chickens or your eggs, whatever it is that you're purchasing local is raised.
Right.
Versus, you know, I don't know where a lot of that stuff from the grocery store is coming from.
Or the restaurants you're eating at, like any fast food restaurant, any...
That's my 20. That's my 20% that I don't question really where it comes from.
Yeah.
But my 80%, it's the stuff that I bring into the house. You know, I'm super strict on certain areas and then others.
Yeah.
Like this past weekend, I loaded up on sugar like no other. It was great. And now I'm back at it again with my no sugar. But, you know, I feel like that 20%, I'm not going to stress too hard. It's too hard. It is. There's so many things thrown at you. I try to do the best I can.
Right.
Most of the time.
Right.
And then I just don't even care the other 20. I enjoy it and I have it and it's good.
The third point that this doctor mentioned in the episode was, or the story that I was watching, was the fact that doctors today are feeling a lot of pressure from their patients. You know, they come in, the patient comes in and has a sniffle or a cough, and their immediate response is, you know, I need some kind of medication. Mm-hmm. I need something. And, you know, the doctor's like, okay, well, it's probably a virus. Well, you know, tests are not done like instantaneously. Now they're improving those tests, and he mentioned that. But again, a lot of doctors don't have the test results immediately. And so they want something, the patient wants something. So they come home with a Z-Pak or an antibiotic, and that's leading to that resistance, immunoresistance. And so, that's a big problem.
It is. It's for sure a contributing factor. I think it's just, here you go, here's a Z-Pak, here's an antibiotic, just again, to make the patient happy. But think of how much telehealth has grown.
Yes.
And just the availability of telehealth doctors and the fact that you can call up,
without even seeing them.
Yes. I mean, you could FaceTime I know each different symptom and what you're calling in for is going to play some bit of a role, but I know a lot of times you can just simply call them up, no FaceTime at all, and then they can just write you a prescription.
Yeah.
And send it to your pharmacy, which again, if we're in that constant practice or behavior of treating ourselves, calling that telehealth doctor, going to the doctor and wanting a prescription every time we don't feel well, unfortunately, there's long-term, health impacts that can come along with that. And I know, at least for us, we'll only use an antibiotic if it's something that we have to use one for.
Well, you've had it tested. You've been tested. You had strep.
Yes. Yeah, so strep, I know I'm not going to be able to, I can't treat that with my oil of oregano, even though there has been
a study on that.
There have been. A student. I haven't treated mine with it, but it's super interesting.
It was.
So
I saw that.
It was it's not like a big medically funded study. This was simply a science fair project that this kid did, and I've pulled it up. It's a science fair project from a while back, and he tested three different essential oils. And he was able to find that it was the oregano essential oil. He tested oregano, tea tree, and rosemary were the three that he did test on. And he in little petri dishes it's like a high school science fair. And he put the essential oil on, it strep bacteria, I believe. And it showed that the
amoxicillin wasn't as, it was against amoxicillin.
It was, it was more effective in the oil of oregano, or I'm sorry, the oregano essential oil basically killed it all. It was awesome.
It was.
That just goes to,
Proof of God in nature.
Well, yeah, there's so much that we can use in nature. We just have to know what to use it for, how to use it, and really like tap into the power of nature, tap into what God has given us. And oil of oregano, speaking of it, I do use it. I use it all the time.
Yep.
Now, not to treat if I test positive for strep. Obviously, I know that I'm going to need an antibiotic. But if I feel like we're getting sick, I will take it. It burns. I will tell you that. Well, we just take those little droppers. But there's a lot of little fun, natural approaches that you can take that, I for one believe in them. I feel like they definitely help me and, my family.
Yeah, I do too. And it's interesting. I think that's, a big part of our thought process is how do we, obviously medication is not like you don't ever take medication. There is a purpose for medication.
Yeah,
and I totally believe in it. And I'm not saying to not take medication.
Yeah.
However, I do believe that there is a potent way of using the herbs and the plants that God's given us to heal us. I mean, he did that. And, before Western medicine, it was the only way, that's how everything was healed, was through, plants and herbs and, nature. And so,
it does. It really does. There are proven results with nature. Again, you just have to tap into it. You just have to figure out, what do we use this for? Yeah. What part of this plant or this herb do we use and why? How do we use it?
Even fruits. Like citrus, like the lemon water. I do lemon water every morning. It's like my tried and true. Every morning I take hot water with lemon, and it's just to build
your system going.
Yeah. And it cleanses your liver, and there's lots of medicinal benefits to it. And So that's just one thing that I do. And then, you know, castor oil is another thing. You know, castor oil is great for inflammation. So it'll, you know, if you have soreness, muscle soreness or bone, you know, aches or anything, you can actually apply castor oil. So there's so many things out there that can treat. And like you said, the oil of oregano, you know, there was a study done by a high school student and he
Simple Science Fair project. And he's able to prove results.
Yeah.
And again, it's just, are those going to be made super public and super aware so that we all know the natural,
right,
God-given treatments or things that can help? Probably not. But if you do your digging, and again, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And bring it and just kind of bring awareness and highlight those, because there's great times that you can supplement. I mean, I used to think back in the day, now you're seeing all the stuff that, again, Tylenol and the connections that are happening, yes, with ADD and to autism. And it just makes me sick to think about, my gosh, when I was pregnant, I popped Tylenol like no other. Yep. I didn't even think twice, because right, you think, oh, Tylenol, it's super safe. What's it going to do to me? I've got a headache. I'm pregnant. I can't take anything else. I couldn't take my my migraine medication when I was pregnant, so I relied on Tylenol.
Yep.
And now, of course, looking back again, you're like, dang it. Wish I was smarter back then. I wish I'd looked into it further, because both my pregnancies, both kids, yeah, I took Tylenol like it was no other, because yeah, I'm someone that gets a lot of headaches, and uh-huh, you don't really drink a ton of coffee while you're pregnant. Yeah. And so Tylenol was my go-to.
Yep.
And look what's coming out.
Yeah.
Fast forward now.
And they're actually attributing, I mean, that this whole news story was about ibuprofen and, yep, and Tylenol and
all kinds of stuff that's coming out about that right now. And it, yeah, just, ugh, makes me sick to think of how many times I've taken that throughout my life and, yeah, the damage I know I've done.
Yeah. But, you know, I you know, after I went through my health journey, I literally kind of cut out all medicine. I try very hard to, you know, keep my immune system as strong as possible, yeah, through what I put in and on my body and the foods that I'm eating and things like that. So, you know, anti-inflammatory is like the best medicine, in my opinion, is making sure you're eating the right things and
having that proactive approach.
Yes.
I'm going to give my body everything it, right, needs, minimal of what it doesn't need, to really try to boost that immune system, yes, so that it works as God intended.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. And I think that's, you know, if everybody took that approach, then, you know, I think you would not be in the doctor as much, probably, because realistically, it's our immune system is designed. I mean, God created us. I mean, it repairs itself if we take care of our bodies. I mean, it's amazing. I've been just so blown away at how, you know, foods and what we put in our body can really impact our overall immune system.
Oh, absolutely.
And keeping us healthy. And of course, you know, everybody gets sick at some point, right? And so, but it's like being able to fight that off so that you don't maybe get as sick as someone else. And that's all.
Or then you're just not constantly feeling that, I don't feel good. Or, right, oh, I just, you know, I don't have any energy, or I'm so tired, or whatever part of the day. Our bodies should have that energy. And a, yeah, lot of, not all of it. Again, all of us have different health ailments that we could be dealing with, but assuming you're in, you know, good, yeah, health, what we put in and on is really going to help give us that fuel to get through the full day and have that energy so that we can, you know, go,
yeah,
go.
And do everything we have to do for our kids. Because, I mean, holy cow.
Because they run our lives.
They do.
Mom, do this. Mom, yeah, I get a text at 4. Can I go do this? And it's just like, oh my gosh, you should be on the bus.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
You need to be healthy if you're,
yes,
a parent.
Yeah, you do.
For sure. Because, yeah, you've got to take care of everybody else.
That's right.
And if mom is sick and down, not, yeah, a lot gets done.
That's right. So we have to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves.
Yes.
And that's, you know, mind, body, and spirit. I always say it's really your spirit first, then your mind, and then your body, because they all kind of trickle together.
But, yeah,
you know, I do believe in that. And I believe that we have everything we need in nature to, you know, heal ourselves. I think medicine is a gift from God that he allows us to use, but it's not supposed to be the cure-all. You know, the spirit is really, you know, getting our spirit right, which affects our mind, and then,
oh, absolutely,
healing our body.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that there is, you know, with the good and the bad with anything. I think medicine, it has done great things,
yeah,
throughout history. Absolutely. We would not be where we're at,
no,
I don't think, as a society without modern inventions. But I also think, as with anything, we can overdo it.
Yeah.
And I definitely, as we're seeing with the antibiotic resistance, I think maybe, you know, there's definitely potential to overdo it in the past. And just knowing, again, the difference, knowing the natural approaches is, so at least when we can, and we have those opportunities,
yeah,
where we don't pull the Tylenol out of the drawer, yeah, and we use a natural approach or,
yeah,
something. I think
it's not our first response.
Yeah.
I think our first
response. And not all occasions, but when it can be.
Yeah.
Having a natural approach. Remedy or a natural yeah. approach for you or your kids. And then, you know, yeah, using
absolutely.
The over-the-counter drugs when you truly need it. Because again, there's definitely a place for it.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I would say I'm granola, but I'm not all the way. I don't yeah. know what that word is. I'm crunchy or crunchy-ish. I don't know. I definitely am that holistic route, believe in the power of nature, but I also know there's a time and a place for what we have today.
Yeah. Yes. I'm lockstep with you on, you know, the crunchy side of health and, you know, doing the things that, you know, God's created us to do with the foods and the plants and the things that he's given us to heal ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, but not all things. He did give us doctors and he's given us medicine. And
yeah.
in the Bible, I mean, Luke wrote, you know, one of the New Testament books, and he is a doctor. So obviously there's purpose in doctors and there's purpose in medicine and
oh, yeah.
being diagnosed with things, you know, that doctors know how to treat. So yes, there's definitely benefits in that. But I also think that he's given us everything in nature to help us heal. But
did you ever think you'd be a crunchy mom?
No.
Me neither.
No, I never thought I'd homeschool either. So, you know, there's a lot of things that God's just... He's given me all kinds of different different opportunities to grow, I should say.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely different opportunities to grow. And I'm thankful for it. You know, I've learned a lot because of it. These challenges that I've faced have been opportunities for me to have growth and to take that information, because I truly believe that, you know, our challenges are supposed to be shared. I believe that God wants us to share our challenges so that we can all grow and become the best versions of ourselves. So, you know, my story, if it can impact one person and help them, then I've done what I'm supposed to do.
Well, and you can learn from each other too. And again, like I look at it of how different I used to be prior to just COVID. And mm-hmm. the, you know, I was so many of us just working. I had, you know, two young kids working full time. I mean, I've been working my entire life, just recently up until now, retired from corporate America. But one point in time, my husband was working out of state. So I was just go, go, go all the time, trying to survive and yeah. didn't think, here, I've got tons of extra time. Let me dive in and look and see what research has been done on Tylenol and if this is going to hurt me. And you just don't think. You're yeah. just trying, you're in survival yeah. mode, especially when your kids are young.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it's unfortunate that the information is kind of hidden. But
yeah.
again, it kind of brings us back to, gosh, I wish this was out here when I was that age and making all those mistakes that I wish I could go back now and erase and do differently. But, you know, bringing awareness to others is...
And our kids, which are the future yes. generation. And
teaching
honestly,
them how to do it. And that brings me so much joy. Like when they know too. One thing over the other, yes. and I'm just like, oh, that brings... I'm doing something right.
I'm doing a lot of places in life,
but at least I am teaching yes. you and I'm empowering you with that information so that they can make better decisions yes. than I did. Because, yes. you know, for a long time, I made some really poor decisions we all did. But again, you're trying to survive. I was trying to survive. Survival yeah. mode. Yeah.
And we had just blanket trust. I mean,
now I'm the opposite. I don't either. Zero, which I hate that I'm that way. You know, I've gone from, I told you before, I'll be very honest, I don't trust doctors at all now.
Yeah.
And I hate that I feel that way. And I know logically that's not the right mindset, but I just emotionally can't get past
yeah.
the whole just pandemic and COVID and the,
all of that.
Yeah. All of yeah. that. I just don't. And so for me, I'm going to look to, okay, what did they do before? What did they do yeah. historically? What has God given us to treat yeah. us? And again, yeah. I know there's a time and a place for it. I'm yeah. just thankful, you know, right now, you know, we don't need it.
Well, and the reality is that you can pick and choose when you want to go to the doctor and when you don't. You don't have to go for the sniffles. You can, you know, treat it with high vitamin C and rest and lots of water. I mean, there's just the natural way.
Take care of your body.
Yeah. Right?
Boost your immune system.
Boost your immune system.
Give your body what it needs to heal and repair, assuming you're in, you know, you're healthy and it's just a simple cold.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, the name catches you, but the truth keeps you.
Thanks for joining.
Thanks for joining. Let the honest conversation